I imagine that even if you're not terribly familiar with the Christmas story, that scene at the end there will be reasonably familiar to you. I mean, it's the nativity scene. You see it everywhere. You see it in Ballantyne's window. If you go into the cathedral, it's there at the front. If you've been through the grotto, it's there, even if it's teddy bears. And tonight up here, we've got a mural across the front. It's a very well-known scene of baby Jesus and the shepherds and the wise men. Now, I don't want to be the ultimate spoil sport, but it's actually very unlikely historically that the wise men actually turned up at that moment. They probably turned up a few months later, judging from the historical events that happened that we can see, but who wants to ruin a great mural? So tonight what I thought I'd do is I'd like to talk about these people in the mural, particularly these two groups of people. And you'll see, I think, as we go through this, just how relevant the story actually is for us today in a totally different, on the other side of the world, in a different culture, 2,000 years on. So I'd like to talk about these two groups. First of all, about the shepherds. I'll read the story to you. This is Luke's Gospel, chapter 2. And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flock by night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. The angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is the Messiah, the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You'll find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger." So they hurried off and found Mary and Joseph and the baby who was lying in the manger. When they had seen him, they spread the word concerning what had been told about them about this child. And all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds said to them. So first of all, here we've got the shepherds. Now, when you think shepherds back in Israel, you shouldn't think like a Kiwi sheep farmer, Canterbury sheep farmer. They were some fella going out at 9 o'clock actually said, I was trying to find the parallel, you see, and he said, think members of a shearing gang. And I thought that's pretty helpful, really. Most of these, but these guys were actually further down the social pecking order than this, because in Israel, ancient Israel, a shepherd, they were a sort of ragtag collection of people they gathered together. It's been suggested they were mostly rogues and petty criminals, actually. And they weren't allowed to give evidence in court. I mean, they weren't seen as men of high integrity. And they weren't religious at all, not even remotely. I mean, they couldn't, their job meant they couldn't keep all the ceremonial laws and the ritual washings that the religion prescribed. So these, they were not religious, which means they were just like some of you tonight. You might have come in here, I mean, you very rarely come to church. Maybe this is Christmas, so you turn up, or maybe occasionally at Easter or something. But you say, hey, man, I'm not religious. Neither were these people. They weren't religious at all. And when you think about God and church and this stuff, I mean, those people would have thought, hey, I'm not good enough. This is for all these holy people there in Jerusalem. And you may feel like this too when you think about God and church and stuff. You think, hey, man, I'm not good enough for that stuff. I'm not religious. This isn't for me. I'll tolerate it once a year, but it's not for me. Now, lest you think that someone's put me up to the fact that you're here tonight. I don't know you're coming. And I'm only saying this because there's just so many people in New Zealand. This is how people think. You know, I'm just not religious. In any case, I'm not good enough for it. And I'd never make it anyway, so just count me out. And who was it? Who was it that the angel appeared to? It wasn't all the holy religious people down there in the temple. It was these guys on the hillside who didn't see themselves as religious at all. And the angel appears to them. You see, Judaism, the religion to which Jesus was born, was a religion of the law. And most religions in the world, in fact, all religions in the world except one, are essentially religions of the law. In other words, if you keep certain requirements and keep certain laws, then you will be acceptable to God. Now, when Jesus came along, he didn't come to tell us what everyone else had told us. Now, most people I meet think Christianity is one more religion of law. And sadly, the church very often gives that impression, like there's a whole lot of rules and regulations, and if you want to be acceptable to God, you've got to live by all these. That's wrong. Jesus didn't come to just tell us what everyone else has told us and what we knew anyway. He came with a totally different message. He did not say, if you do certain things, you'll be acceptable to God. What he said is that if you know you're not acceptable to God, then this message is for you. It's actually the complete reverse of what everyone else came to say. It's those who know they are undeserving will be the ones who will receive the mercy of God. That is turning common wisdom on its head. And here are these shepherds out there. Everyone knew they weren't good enough. They weren't religious at all. And they get this visit from God. It's called grace, as in amazing grace. It is amazing. It's not the people who feel they're deserving of God who will find him, but it's those who know they're undeserving. I don't know if you saw the news tonight, but I see Bono has been given a knighthood from the Queen. Did you see that? And but a bit sad, really, because he's Irish, so he can't accept the knighthood, isn't that sad? So he can never be Sir Bono. But over the last few years, Bono has become quite a spokesman for Christianity. And some of you will be aware of this. And he's become a passionate spokesperson for the situation in Africa, for aid and justice in Africa. But he's been talking quite a bit about the Christian faith. And he made an interesting point. He's saying that the whole world basically operates on the basis of karma. That pretty well every religion teaches this in one form or another, that you get what you deserve. You do certain things, stuff will come back to you. That's the way, as he said, as far as he can see, that's the way the world operates. But he said the most amazing message that's been around for the last few thousand years is that someone else came to the world, and their message wasn't about karma, it was about grace. That we are not deserving of God's love and goodness. That none of us are actually good enough. But it's those of us who realize we are not good enough. We are the ones who can be receiving the favor of God. It turns the whole thing on its head. A few weeks ago, we had a visit in the church here from a fellow named Sam Chapman. And our church staff here met with him in the gym here where this photo was taken. And Sam and his wife Thelma live in Manukau in South Auckland. With five other Christian families, and they formed a community there where they have developed this work amongst the mongrel mob. Now, it's not just the mongrel mob, it's the notorious chapter of the mongrel mob, which is reputed to be the worst chapter in any gang in New Zealand. In the last few years in their work with the mongrel mob, about 35 of these guys have become followers of Jesus. And the story was told on 2020 on TV3 just a few months ago. And Sam was telling us over lunch that the director of this program on TV3 got in touch with him and said that never have we screened a program on TV3 that has had such phenomenally positive response from the audience as a story of what you people are doing amongst the mongrel mob. But he says some people don't like it. Some people say, why are you wasting your time on your energy on these no-hopers? But it's about grace. It's about love to the undeserving. And this is the story of the shepherds. You feel, hey, I'm not the religious type. Well, the message is actually for you. As a result of Sam and Thelma and these others are doing, they've extended an invitation to Nicky Cruz, who was a leader of the dreaded Mau Mau gang in New York. And he's coming out here to South Auckland in February, and they're going to have a big evangelistic meeting that they've invited all the gangs to, Highway 61 and the Devil's Henchmen and all these guys. And Sam was saying to us, you know, what's going to happen if a whole bunch of these people want to become followers of Jesus too? We're going to get overwhelmed. So this is the story of the shepherds. Then there was a second group of people who came along, and they were the wise men. And I'll read this passage. This is from Matthew chapter 2. After Jesus was born in Bethlehem in Judea, during the time of King Herod, magi from the east came to Jerusalem and asked, where is the one who's been born king of the Jews? We saw his star when it rose and have come to worship him. Then Herod called the magi secretly and found out from them the exact time the star had appeared. He sent them to Bethlehem and said, go and make a careful search for the child. As soon as you find him, report to me so I too may go and worship him. After they'd heard the king, they went on their way. And the star they had seen when it rose went ahead of them until it stopped over the place where the child was. When they saw the star, they were overjoyed. On coming to the house, they saw the child with his mother Mary, and they bowed down and worshipped him. Then they opened their treasures and presented him with gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. Now, these guys could not have been more different from the shepherds if you tried, because these people were the other end of the social spectrum. They were magi. That meant they were Persians. They were like the wise people of the day. They were sort of philosophers and scientists of the day. It's a good translation, the traditional one, although just called the wise men, because they were. They were wise men. They were very learned men. And they were people of... They belonged to another religion, and they had a strong religious faith, but they were still spiritually seeking. They were on a spiritual quest, and they'd seen the star, and they decided to go follow the star and see where it led to them, and they went looking. Now, some of you tonight, you'll be like the wise men. You've had a religious background. You may be from some other religion, but you still haven't found what you're looking for, and you're seeking. I met a woman just this last week. She said to me, "I think you'd call me a spiritual seeker." She said over the last few months, she'd started asking lots of questions about spiritual things, and she'd been to two or three churches trying to find some answers, and some of you may be like that. Others of you who are like spiritual seekers, you'll be seeking solutions in other areas. In the last 5 years, according to the census figures which have just come out in the last few weeks, New Zealand's population has gone up 7.8%. But the number of people who've identified themselves as belonging to New Age spiritual groups has gone up in the last 5 years, not 7%, but 22%. In other words, there's a whole bunch of people out there who've grown dissatisfied with organized religion in this country, and they're on some kind of spiritual quest. And you may be like that. You may be looking for something spiritually, and you're not sure where to find it. You may have come from some other culture or religious group. I mean, it was interesting hearing Navjot tonight tell her story. She'd come from the Sikh religion. Other people have come from other backgrounds. But what the Bible tells us is that Jesus is actually the goal of every person's spiritual quest. A few years ago, Marge and I were in Israel, and we met a fascinating group of people there. For centuries, it's been very, very difficult for Jewish people to become Christians because the alienation, the treatment of Christian people and the Christian church historically towards the Jews has been appalling. And so why would the Jews want to believe in Jesus? Because it meant they had to join this dreaded group of people called the Christians. But something's been happening in the last few decades, and now there's a growing movement among Jews all around the world who are coming to believe in Jesus as the Messiah and culturally remaining Jews. They're now called Messianic Jews. They've become followers of Jesus, and they're worshipping Jesus but culturally remaining as Jews. At the beginning of this year, Marge and I were in Bangladesh. And while we were there, it was arranged for us to meet with this fella who'd been a Muslim. And he was now a follower of Jesus. And he now led scores of house churches of Muslims who have become followers of Jesus, while culturally they're still Muslims. Muslim background believers, they call them. And this is a trend which is going on all over the world. The most astonishing thing is happening. You'll never read about this in the Western media, but the peoples of the earth are coming to Jesus, all except us in the West, where we have all his historical baggage about the church and stuff, which puts so many people off. But there's a spiritual hunger in the Western world, and people are looking for answers, and some of you will be like that tonight. In Africa, we saw this... PowerPoint, this DVD before about situation in Uganda we're trying to help with. But in Africa, the most amazing thing has happened in the 20th century. The beginning of the 20th century, it's estimated there are about 8 million Africans who were Christians. As of this year, The number of Christians in Africa has now passed 400 million. It's been a continent has turned to Christ, apart from the Islamic countries of North Africa. There's a whole continent. And people say, how has this happened? Because you won't see it on your television sets or read about it in West. How has this amazing thing happened? Well, it's happened because people have translated the Bible and they've given it to the people of Africa in their own language. And when they've read it in their own language, they've read about God in their own language, and they've thought, this is the Creator we have always believed in, but we've never known. And so these people are able to come to faith in Jesus without leaving their culture. And so this is what's happening all over the world. And the wise men are an example of this. They belong to another religious background. They're probably pretty spiritual kind of people, but they hadn't found what they were still looking for, and so they come to Jesus. You see, God, Jesus is the goal of every person's spiritual quest. When John was writing about the birth of Jesus, he says this, that in him was life, and that life was the light of all people, not just the Jews. That life was the light of all people. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. And so these two groups of people come. One of them, the shepherds, they weren't religious people at all. They figured they were not good enough. They could never be acceptable to God on the one hand. And then the wise men who were on a spiritual quest. And somewhere in there, you may be like this. And where do they end up in their quest? They end up kneeling in front of Jesus. And we read this about the shepherds. The shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things they had heard and seen, which are just as they had been told. And of the wise men, we read, on coming to the house, they saw the child with his mother Mary, and they bowed down and worshipped him. Now, if you're like this tonight, you can identify yourself as either like the shepherds or like the wise men. Either you feel I'm not the religious type, or you feel you are on a spiritual quest. We'd like to give you a Christmas present from us here in the church. It's a New Testament in very contemporary English. It's incredibly readable and understandable. And if you don't normally go to church and you haven't got a Bible, not one you can understand, we'd like to give this to you as a gift. It's our Christmas present to you. There's no strings attached. We'd like to give it to you tonight. Because tonight, you see, you can take the first step on a journey. And the goal of your spiritual journey is to find Jesus. You may have come in here tonight and you may not be used to going to church at all, really. But deep down, so many of us have a longing that often we can't express what it is. And you know what it is? God's made all of us for himself. There's a kind of God-shaped blank inside the heart of every one of us. And Jesus is the goal of the spiritual quest. And the shepherds found that night long ago, and the wise men found it. And you can find it too. And the first step is to say, okay, I'm going to do something about it. And if you want to do something about it, the first thing is actually to find out about it. And so we'd like to give you a New Testament. And you can read about Jesus. And when you read this story, you better watch out. Jesus could catch you by surprise. Because he's not the kind of person you've thought. If you're not the religious type, you read about Jesus and you think he wasn't the religious type either. The religious people were the ones who got upset with Jesus. And he went to the forsaken people and the poor and the lonely, and he loved them. And the people thought he was wonderful. And if you're on a spiritual quest like the wise men were, you'll find and hear that Jesus will speak to your spiritual quest. So this would be our gift to you. And you've got to ask the question tonight, am I prepared to take the first step of opening my life up to the possibility, maybe this could be true? Maybe Jesus could be the one that I'm looking for in my life. Let's bow our heads together in prayer. Thank you, Lord Jesus, that you came into this world. Thank you that you came, you took the initiative. You came seeking to save people who were spiritually lost or confused or uncertain. We thank you that the shepherds, kind of outcasts in the eyes of lots of people, they came to see you, and the wise men did too. And Lord, wherever we are on our own personal spiritual journey or quest, pray, Lord, help us to take the appropriate next step, whatever it might be for us tonight, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.